Good morning. Welcome to Bible Talk. Here are two different men who get up Sunday morning to, quote, go to church. The first man decides to attend with a certain church because he likes the church's choir and band. They sing and play beautifully, and he enjoys listening. They also have a dynamic preacher who is an eloquent speaker, and he keeps you on the edge of your seat with the stories that he tells. He says, I go there because their worship periods are exciting, and I like it. The second man decides to attend with a certain church because there they worship God as God has directed in His Word. He goes in order to participate in worship to God, not to just be a spectator. This church's emphasis is on each worshiping and pleasing God, not on satisfying man's wishes. The singing may not sound beautiful, but everyone is singing from the heart. The preacher may not be as eloquent as the first preacher, but he is preaching God's Word with sincerity of heart, giving book, chapter, and verse for what he preaches. The second man says, I go there because God is exalted and not man. Now the first man goes to be entertained. The second man goes to worship and honor God. The question we're asking today is, why do you go to church? To be entertained or to worship God? When the early church assembled for worship, they assembled to worship God. God wants true worshipers who will worship and honor Him. In John 4, verses 23 and 24, Jesus says, But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. Anytime Christians congregate for worship, we must realize that we are there to worship God. We do not come together to show off the talents of men or to praise men. Men are not to be praised. God is. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10, when speaking to Satan, Away with you, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only you shall serve. When Cornelius met Peter, he fell down at Peter's feet and worshiped him, it says in Acts 10 and verse 25. In verse 26 it says, But Peter lifted him up, saying, Stand up, I myself am also a man. In Revelation 22 verses 8 and 9 we read of John falling down to worship before the feet of an angel. And the angel said to him, See that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant and of your brethren the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. And so true worship is God-centered, not man-centered. Worship is an occasion to serve God, not man. This means that worship must primarily be to God, about God, and for God. God is the audience, and the worshipers are the performers, so to speak. Unfortunately, a shift has taken place in many modern worshipers' focus of worship. Instead of focusing primarily on God, many modern worshipers focus primarily on themselves. The attitude is, Here I am, now set me on fire. Give me something exciting. Entertain me. Make me feel good. Much worship today has then digressed to be no more than entertainment for people. When we have choirs to sing to us and dramatic performances and concerts to entertain us, we're not worshiping God, but we have become the spectators who are being entertained. But true worship is supposed to be adoration and honor rendered to God by the individual in the pew. In worship, we're not there to serve ourselves. We're supposed to be there to serve God. Worship is God-centered, not man-centered. When our worship is to please God instead of ourselves, then and only then will our worship be much more meaningful and spiritually uplifting to us and acceptable to God. Since worship is directed to God, we should make sure that what we do in worship pleases Him. Some people go to worship and the worship period is dull and boring to them. They complain about how boring it is. And so some churches, in an attempt to solve the problem of dull and unexciting worship periods, introduce band performances and dramatic productions that include laser lights and other neat special effects to spice up their worship period. You see, the attempt is to stimulate excitement in the worshipers by giving the worshipers what they want, rather than instructing the worshiper to give God what God wants. If our worship is directed to God, surely we will want to engage in those acts of worship that we are sure are pleasing to God. You see, a gift offered to anyone whom we respect should not be something offensive to him, but that which we know will please him. No matter how pleasing the gift may be to us, if it is offensive to the receiver, should we give it? Back several years ago, a commercial for a well-known department store showed a wife receiving a gift from her husband. The gift was wrapped, but it was evident that the gift was a hockey stick. She said, "Thank you for the hockey stick. This is better than the hammer you gave me last year." And then you hear the husband say, "Well, can I use it now?" We laugh because it is depicting the extreme. This is not what is normally done. We don't give gifts that we want. We give gifts that pleases the receiver, not ourselves. Well, what kind of worship should we offer to God? Should we offer what pleases us or what pleases Him? In Exodus chapter 32, when Moses was in the mountain receiving the law of God, you remember the people wanted Aaron to make them gods that should go before them. Aaron made a golden calf. Aaron built an altar before it and made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." Now that is to Jehovah God. Well, I think, you see, in Aaron's mind, the burnt offerings and peace offerings they offered before this golden calf were offerings made to Jehovah, the true God. But this worship was not pleasing to God. It may be what the people wanted, but it surely was not what God wanted. Also, Cain and Abel, two sons of Adam and Eve, brought offerings to God. We read about this in Genesis chapter 4. Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. Genesis 4 and verse 5 says that God respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. Evidently, God had commanded which offering he wanted, and Abel brought that offering, and Cain did not. The only way for us today to know what worship pleases God is to turn to His Word, the Bible, where He tells us what worship pleases Him. Jesus said to certain Jews who believed Him, "If you abide in My Word, you are My disciples indeed." John 8 and verse 31. John said in 2 John verse 9, "Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son." We must abide in the teachings of Christ concerning worship. We must worship as it pleases God and not us. We live in a have-it-your-way generation. But that means not only do we please ourselves with our choice of hamburgers, but many of us want to worship God as we please. Therefore, many people devise worship that fits their way of thinking rather than worshiping in a way that fits God's way of thinking. Keep in mind that worship is God-centered, not man-centered. Therefore, we must worship God in the way that pleases Him. And so when you go to worship, do you go to worship God, or do you go to be entertained and to please yourself? Many churches use entertainment in their worship periods to facilitate numerical growth or to prevent numerical decline. They think that in order to bring people in and keep them, they must give people entertainment. One preacher said, and I quote, "No longer can we afford the luxury of thinking that the people who are sitting in our pews are going to be there every Sunday. We have to arrest their attention. We have to use every device possible to reach them and to teach them, and we need not be so apologetic about entertaining them. I mean, they've been entertained all week long, every time they turn around. I have no apology for putting a good singer in front of them to entertain them if they're not Christians. You've got to do something to reach them." End of quote. And so the idea is, since Americans love to be entertained, let's roll out the entertainment. If you entertain them, they will come. Well, does the Lord want us to draw people to Him by fleshly incentives? You know, on one occasion, Jesus fed about 5,000 men besides women and children with 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. He miraculously multiplied the loaves and fish as a sign to the people that He was of God. He fed them because the hour was late. They had a need for food. The next day, the people sought for Jesus. When they found Him on the other side of the sea, Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek Me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set His seal on Him." John 6, verses 26 and 27. You see, when Jesus saw that they were seeking Him for material gain, He refused to be a part of it. He would not lure them in by means of worldly enticements. Rather, He appealed to them on the basis of the food which abides unto eternal life. Later, we read that because of Jesus' teachings, many of His disciples went back and walked with Him no more. John 6 and verse 66. Well, Jesus did not run after them with fleshly enticements to try to keep them. He didn't ask them what they wanted in order to keep them and then tried to provide it for them. This Jesus would certainly not be welcome at many churches today. Someone might say today, "Well, come on, Jesus, give them more bread because you've got to do something to reach them." Perhaps Jesus would respond that food and entertainment doesn't reach anybody. They just fill the belly and entertain. The truth is what changes people, not fun and games. Jesus said in John 8 and verse 32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Paul said in Romans 1 verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." God calls us to Him, but it is through the gospel that He calls us. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14, "To which He called you by our gospel, for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." It is the gospel, the truth, the Word of God that will draw people to Christ and that will then keep them. You see, if you win people to the church with fleshly incentives, then you will have to keep them by this same means. And as soon as the entertainment is not entertaining, or some other church has better entertainment, then they leave. And so I ask you again, why do you go to church? To worship God or to be entertained? Well, our time is gone for today, but before we close, I want to again announce a special series of meetings that the St. James Church of Christ in St. James is conducting beginning today, October the 2nd, and continuing through Friday night the 7th. Jerome Sasanecki of Danville, Indiana is with us and will present lessons on the theme, Encounters with Jesus. What would it be like to have a personal encounter with Jesus on this earth? Well, there are those who did. And Jerome will be talking about some of those encounters and some lessons that we can learn from them. I know that you'll be benefited by these lessons if you're able to come. Now that's October the 2nd through the 7th. We will be meeting at our regular times today, 9:30 and 10:15 this morning and 5 o'clock this afternoon. And then Monday through Friday of this week, we will meet at 7 o'clock each evening. Come and be with us. Our church building is located at 685 Sydney Street in St. James. That's where Sydney Street and Highway B intersect.